Hi, good evening, everybody. This evening's 20-minute Hilchos Shabbos mini shiur will address the topic of Zareah. Zareah means planting. One of the 39 prohibited labors, one of the 39 malachos of Shabbos is Zareah, to plant, even though we live in a non-agrarian society, and many of us and none of us are really farmers and dealing with the malacha of Zareah planting. Nonetheless, I would like to show you this evening that there are a number of practical applications for us living in the city, suburbanians. Regardless, we do have to be aware of a variety of different applications of the Malach of Zariah, both on a biblical, midiraisa level, as well as on a din drabanan. Clearly, watering a plant indoors or outdoors is prohibited under the Malach of Zariah. Certainly, taking seeds and placing seeds in the ground, even if you're not watering them, would fall under the category of Zariah. Both of those would be us or midiraisa. But those are obvious to all, and those are things that we are all aware should not be done. However, there's something else that's less known that I'd like to turn your attention to. If you take a look in Siman Shin Lamed Vav, Sif Gimel, there the Mechaber mentions that those of us who are eating a picnic outside, one of the Shal Shugos happens to be outdoors, says the Mechaber, Ochum Beginos Asurim Lipal Yadam Al Asabim, would be prohibited for one to wash his or her hands for Ntilas Yadayim before breaking bread, because one would do so on the grass, ultimately, Shemashkim Osam, you're going to be watering the ground, the grass, the garden, the lawn, and that is a Issur D'oraisa because you're watering. Now, even though the Mechaber says that your intent is simply to wash your hands for Netilas Yadayim and not to water the ground and the soil in order that the grass grows nicer, Afal Pi She'enu Mechavnim, even though it's a Davar She'enu Mechavnim, and a Davar She'enu Mechavnim, when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, is Asur Midrabana, not Midiraisa, nonetheless, Mechaber concludes, Psik Reishahu. It's guaranteed that the outcome is going to be increasing the potential for the ground and the soil to develop quicker and stronger, and ultimately that would be a malacha d'oraisa and issa d'oraisa of Zoreah, because it's a psik reisha, and therefore it is prohibited, says Mechaber, if you're eating outside, to pour your hands and add water to your hands for netilas yadayim. The Ramah actually takes this to another level, and he says not only is it a problem to do so, you should be careful not to wash your hands on the asavim. The Ramah says, Tov lahachmir shalo lechol beginos, yimishtam yishamayim. One shouldn't even eat outside if you're going to ultimately use water. It's almost impossible to be careful and cautious that water is not going to spill, and albeit that most of your meal is going to be eating, certainly you're going to wind up drinking at some point in some course during the meal. You're going to wash your hands from filthy dime. And therefore, the Mechaber takes it as far as to say that one should be stringent and not to eat outside at all if you're going to drink and if there is a concern that you're going to wash the filthy dime. If you're able to wash the filthy dime aside, or if you're going to drink something that is not a water product, the Mechaber says, when it comes to wine, or when the Mishnah Berurah points out there in some Mishnah Lavav, if you're talking about the liquor or hard liquor, anything that has a agents that is not going to be productive for watering the ground, then ultimately it would be permitted. But certainly one should be careful, cautious, when they are in, outdoors, that water is not spilled on the water, because that is going to directly help and benefit the ground, and that is going to be an Issur D'oraisa of Zareah. Another issue that one has to be careful in recognizing, and this the Mechaber again mentions in Siman Shin Lamed here in Sif Tes, and Mechaber notes that there is a concern that one who puts beans or soaks chitin musorim, wheat or barley, v'kayotin b'mayim harizat toled ezoreya. There is a told a derivative of the Issur D'oraisa of actually planting or watering the garden, and that's soaking any type of wheat or barley, specifically, the Mechaber says, but certainly the same thing should be true if you place a bean, an onion, a potato, avocado, for example, into water, and you're going to cause that the will germinate or sprout or roots are going to grow. That is going to be usher as a result of the tolada of Zareah, even though you're not putting something into the ground directly, but by putting the bean, the onion, potato, avocado into the water, it's going to germinate, and that will be an Issur D'oraisa. If it's already there before Shabbos, the bean, the onion, or the potato, the avocado, and you can remove it from the water, if they're that particular item, the bean or potato, already germinated and there are some level of roots that have been created in the water, you can remove it from the cup or the bowl or wherever it is sitting, that's going to be usur for tolish. Tolish is separating. And once the plant itself is growing and you're going to take it and remove the bean or the onion or the potato from the water itself, that's going to be an isser of tolish. there is a interesting aspect of the Melacha Zareh that doesn't necessarily fall under the other categories of Isurim, Melachos on Shabbos, and that is typically when you accomplish or execute a Melacha, Asura, on Shabbos, not only are you executing it, but you're also accomplishing it. For example, the Melacha Bona or Tochein or Borer, when you do that particular Melacha, as soon as you're executing it, you're creating something. You build something, you have separated something, you have chopped something, and on the spot you have done a creative activity. The Melachos of Shabbos are prohibited because of them being creative. However, when it comes to Melachos Zareh, when you plant something in the ground or when you water the ground, so you're not going to necessarily see the effect of that action that you're doing until days or day or 2 days or even 3 weeks later. So the fact that you're putting a seed in the ground, the fact that you're watering the ground today, you're not going to see the success or the outcome of that melacha that you're doing until sometime later. Nonetheless, when it comes to melacha zareh, we see that the issur is in the maisa when you're doing the activity and has nothing to do with the totza, with the outcome. And therefore, even though you're doing something on Shabbos and the outcome is not going to take place until later in the week and after, post-Shabbos, it's still usur. The byproduct of that is during the week, for example, if you want to plant or you want to water the ground and the ultimately the item that you've planted or that which you have added water to is going to sprout on Shabbos proper, that's absolutely fine because it's the maisa that's us. And as long as you did the maisa before Shabbos, even though the grass is going to now grow on Shabbos or even though ultimately the seed that you've placed into the ground is now going to grow or the tree that you planted some time before is now going to bloom, on Shabbos, that's okay because the maisa, the action took place before Shabbos, even though the totza, the conclusion, the execution, and ultimately the particular success of that melacha is not going to take place until Shabbos proper. Another interesting thing to note is that the Mechaber mentions in another place here in Shulchan Aruch, in Siman Reish Amud Beis in Shulchan Aruch, that one would be permitted to set up a sprinkler system to go off prior or to set up the sprinkler system to go into effect prior to Shabbos and can continue sprinkling the water on Shabbos. This is a mechaber in Siman Reish Nun Beis says, hey, it's based upon Gemara in Shabbos, Mesachta Shabbos, Daf Yechet. Mutar lefsoach mein legina, behem nimshachim v'holchim b'chol haShabbos. It is permitted to open up a trough of water or a sprinkler system contemporarily for a garden in order for it to sprinkle, and it can continue sprinkling all of Shabbos. So if one has a sprinkler system that's going in the summer and you set it up for 7 o'clock or 6 o'clock or even 7:30 when Shabbos doesn't come in until later, 8:30 or so, as long as it's set up prior to Shabbos and continues going throughout the course of Shabbos, that is permitted. The caveat that the Mechaber mentions here, that if it's noisy and if it is disruptive to the serenity of Shabbos, that's what Rashi coins in Masechet Shabbos, Avshe Milsa, Ikazilusa L'Shabsa, there is a disgrace to the Shabbos as a result of the noise, the uncomfortable and the deafening noise of the sprinkler system, then it would be prohibited to do. But if your sprinkler system is quiet and it's set before Shabbos and it continues going throughout the course of Shabbos, it's permitted, so much so, the Chazon Ish even says that when Shabbos comes, one will be permitted to turn the sprinkler system off, and there's no problem with that whatsoever. Another question that is interesting to take note of is, would one be permitted to set up a sprinkler system on the timer? You're familiar that many of our lights, light switches, or our electricity that we use, specifically when it comes to lighting our homes, is based upon a timer system. That Moshe Feinstein already, who was very adamantly opposed, as he writes in his tshuva, to using a timer for a variety of electronic appliances, including setting up an oven. That was something that he was adamantly opposed to go on through a timer. However, when it came to electricity specifically being used for lights, that is something that Moshe was comfortable with. Many of Moshe Feinstein's students take this to the point where Moshe was specifically opposed to using lights for even on a timer and many things on a timer. However, many of us who do use a timer for setting up electricity, specifically when it comes to the area of lights, so the question would be, would it be permitted to set up a sprinkler system on a timer as well to go off? Now, this is not something that we necessarily would like to do or should be doing. Can't say that it's usher. According to Rav Moshe Feinstein, it's true, it would be usher, and many Rav Moshe's close Talmidim did not use a timer for anything outside of lights. But those of us who do use a timer for an air conditioner, let's say, to set it on or off, or a heating system to go on and off, etc., one would get the impression that to set up a sprinkler system on a timer would be okay according to the letter of the law. Again, if it's disruptive or it's not in line with the serenity of Shabbos and takes away, that would be something that would be difficult and problematic. I would suggest that if you could do it after hours, late at night, to set up the system, if there's any need because of a financial concern that in the middle of the summer, the beautiful grass that you have planted is going to get ruined. So if you're able to set up your timer specifically for Shabbos, if it's going on every day at 4, 5, 6 o'clock, if you could set up to go in the middle of the night, 3 a.m., 4 a.m. when nobody's around, that might be better. The other issues that one should discuss are outside of the area of plants specifically and seeds specifically. But when it comes to flowers, flowers are part of our Shabbos experience. Many of us purchase flowers before Shabbos or give flowers as a gift, a bouquet of flowers. And the Mechaber deals with that as well, specifically the Ramah in Simin Shin Mamavav Sefir Aleph. And the Ramah here is quoting from a Mariel, Rav Yaakov Milon, who writes, Mutter Lahamid Anfi Ilonos B'mayim B'Shabbos. It is permitted actually to put a bouquet of flowers that have been set for the purpose of Shabbos, as the Mishnah Berurah explains, into water. You could put into fresh vase of water, according to the Mechaber. Ubilvach Lo Ye Behem Prachim. The Ramah says there's one caveat, there's one reason or permissibility to be able to put a bouquet of flowers into water on Shabbos, and that is if the flowers themselves are fully bloomed and have reached their end of their growth. But what would seem to emerge from the Ramah is that if there are a bouquet of flowers that you have received and that you're putting into water, into a vase of water for the first time, and the flowers have not yet bloomed, and there's buds are still on it, and as a result of putting it into water, the flowers will bloom, that would be prohibited. If you take a look in the language of the Maharil, who the Ramah is sourcing, the reason for this prohibition is mishum megadel, because you are allowing the flowers to grow. It doesn't say zoreya. The impression you get from the Maharil, as well as the Ramah, who's citing the Maharil, is that there's not an isser d'oraisa of zoreya, like we've been discussing till this point, but rather this is an isser d'rabanan of megadel. What would emerge and what one can glean from the Ramah is if you're dealing with a bouquet of flowers that is fully bloomed and has come and reached its conclusion of its growth, then it would be permitted. And indeed, Mishnah Berurah here in Os Nundalet, Sifkata Nundalet, in Simen Shin Lamavav, quotes from the Prima Gadim and the Shulchan Aruch Hagraz, that's the Baal HaTanya's Shulchan Aruch, that they both say that lichatchila, ideally and a priori, one can take a bouquet of flowers that is fully bloomed and that has reached its potential of growth and place it into a vase of water on Shabbos proper. That is the indication from the Ramah, and that is the position both of the Prima Gadim as well as the Shulchan Aruch Harav. However, Mishnah Berurah does quote another opinion and explains that really the Ramah doesn't mean it's permitted lichatchila, a priori, to place a bouquet of flowers that is fully bloomed into water. Rather, what the Ramah means is that one can return a bouquet of flowers that are fully bloomed into a vase of water that they either fell out of or that they was taken out of for whatever reason that they were taken out. But not that one can specifically and lichatchila a priori place a bouquet of flowers in lichatchila on Shabbos. The basis for this position, even though the Ramah seems to indicate that it would be permitted lichatchila to place a fully bloomed bouquet of flowers into water, is based upon a mechaber in the halachas of Dalet Minim. In Simon Tuf Reishon and Dalet, dealing with hadasim and aravos that one wants to keep fresh throughout the 7 days of Sukkot when you're using them, the mechaber states explicitly that if one has prepared a vase of water throughout the Yom Tov of Sukkot, and that includes Yom Tov proper, the holy days of Yom Tov, that one can take the hadasim and aravos out of the water to use them for Lulav and Esrog, the Mitzvah D'oraisa, the Mitzvah D'rabbanan, Bizman HaZeh, and then return them to the vase of water itself. Therefore, says those group of Acharim who the Mishnah Berurah is quoting here, that when the Mishnah, that when the Ramah says that you can take a fully bloomed group of bouquet of flowers and put it back into the water, he's specifically saying returning, because no way, no how, would the Ramah permit one to take a bouquet of flowers that are fully bloomed and place it into a bouquet for the first time. It would only be if you had them in a vase that was prepared with a serious amount of water prior to Shabbos, and then you could return it. So we see very clearly here in the Mishnah Berurah two opinions in Achronim as to whether or not the Ramah permits you lechatchila, a priori, to place a fully bloomed bouquet of flowers into water for the first time, or whether or not you can simply return such a bouquet of flowers to a vase of water. All opinions agree that certainly if this bouquet is not bloomed and is going to grow more, as a result, that it will be prohibited. The same thing would be true regarding your hadasim and your avos for sukkahs, that if for whatever reason there is an indication that they're going to continue to grow, it would even be permitted to return them. How do we pass in? So the Shaar Tzion, the footnotes of the Mishnah Berurah here, post Mem Ches notes, if for whatever reason you forgot to place your bouquet of flowers that are fully bloomed specifically on Erev Shabbos into your vase, but the vase is still there and it still has its water in it, nonetheless it would still be permitted to return the bouquet back to the vase that has water in it already, but to specifically take a new vase and fill it up with water and to put it into the vase and then put the flowers in it, or to exchange the water on Shabbos properly, that would be usur and that would be prohibited. So if somebody brings a bouquet of flowers on Shabbos and you want to put it into water for the first time, even though they're fully bloomed, if you do not have a prepared bottle of water or a vase of water, it would be usur. Seemingly, if one has a cup of water or if one has some level of water prepared, that it would be permitted to do so. And the same thing would be true when it comes to your hadasim and aravos as well. While we're on the topic of bouquet of flowers and accepting bouquet of flowers on Shabbos, one should note that flowers in the vase are not considered to be mukta. Therefore, certainly one can take the flowers on and off the table, including the vase, and to move it on and off as need be, since the flowers are there for the enjoyment of Shabbos and they're brought to enhance the Shabbos experience, as the Maharil says, L'smoch b'hen b'bayit, to gladden the person's heart. Therefore, they are being used for a purpose on Shabbos and are not muksa whatsoever and can be moved freely so long as there is some level of need as a result to move them. However, let's talk now about potted plants that are indoors. Potted plants have a different status halachically than a bouquet of flowers. A bouquet of flowers, as we said, if they're cut and prepared for Shabbos, are not muksa. Potted plants, on the other hand, are not the case, because as opposed to a bouquet of flowers, where there's no iser, the arise, there's no biblical prohibition, since they're already separated and they have been cut from the ground, they're only in your house post that stage, and therefore, at most, they can be, you're growing them, you're being nigadol them, but there's no zoreya, and there's no tolish. When it comes to a bouquet of flowers, when it comes to potted plants that have soil and have roots and that are growing, if you are tinkering with them and using the potted plants in a different way or moving them from point A to point B, it could be you're even aiding and abetting their growth process, which would be an iser of zoreya. Or if you're going to move them to a different place, possibly you are decreasing their chances of growth and therefore be prohibited rabbinically. Therefore, one should be cautious and not move potted plants for any purpose. If you're going to move your potted plants from a sunny room to a dark room, you're possibly decreasing their chance of growth and therefore that would be prohibited under the Malach of Tolish. If you're going to take a potted plant and move it from indoors to outdoors, you're absolutely fulfilling the prohibition of Zoreya because you're helping the plant grow, and that would be prohibited. Even if you move it from a dark room to a sunny room, it's also possible to suggest that one is over the Issa Deraisa because you are actually helping the plant grow. One should be cautious about that. If you're at a simcha and you're moving a potted plant from one table to another or one side of the room to another side of the room, and it's all the same, one would imagine that there would not be a problem of Zoreya or Tolish because you're moving it, number one, from one place to another place, not to help it grow, but you're simply doing so in order that the plant itself has to be in point A to point B. And if you're not moving it for the purpose of growth or separation, it would seem to be that that would be okay. However, if you're opening the shades in a room indoors in order to allow the potted plant that you have to grow, that's going to also be problematic because of Zoreya, because you're specifically opening the shades in order for the plant to grow. However, if you're in a room and you're waking up and you want to see the morning sun, and it happens to be that you have a plant in your room, so that's okay, because your purpose of your opening up the window or the window shade or the piece in your room is simply to get light in. Now, even though we said a davar sheinu miskaven, that's a psik reisha, is usur, and here when I'm opening up the shades in the room, it's clear, and it's absolutely positive that as a result of the sun, even though your intention is not to grow the flower or grow the plant, that's going to happen anyway. So Shlomo Zalman Rohrbach is of the opinion that that's not called a psik reishe, because here it's not obvious and it's not nikar le'inayim that you are, the plant is growing, as opposed to the mechadah we discussed earlier in Siman Shin Lamed Vav, when you are pouring the water onto the ground itself, you're absolutely, positively, unquestionably allowing the soil and the grass and whatever it is to grow, and that's a clear indication, it's a direct hit, and that's an absolute thing that is taking place, as opposed to when you're opening up the window or the window shade in your room, not as obvious that that's what's taking place, and therefore it's not directly causing that to take place. However, if your purpose of opening the window shade is absolutely positively to allow the sun in and to allow your potted plant to grow, it would be a problem. For example, if your potted plant spills and soil comes out, one would be prohibited to pick the dirt up and to put it back into the pot, especially if the roots were uncovered. And by placing soil back into the pot and covering the roots, then your soil and is going to help and it's going to produce and it's going to allow the Zriya process, the planting process, and the growth of the plant to be quicker. That's going to be prohibited. So one should not return the dirt to the soil that falls out back into the pot. If the potted plant did fall over, so certainly no different than sweeping the floor on Shabbos, which is you're picking up things that are mukta, and you could take that and put it into the garbage. The same thing would be true when it comes to the dirt as well. Seemingly, one would be able to sweep up the dirt that fell and put it into the garbage, but certainly not to put it back into the pot proper. But what we have seen is a variety of different applications of the Melach of Zorea, even for our contemporary times where we're not really working outdoors, but where we're indoors. One should be cautious and careful. Nonetheless, with this Issa D'Oraisa of Zorea, it's Issa D'Rabbanan of Megadel, as we have discussed. Certainly the same thing is true when it comes to Tolados for derivatives of the Melacha, when you're not actually taking a seed and planting in the ground, or you're not actually taking water and adding to the ground, but when you are even taking an avocado and putting it into water or removing an avocado from water, if itself it is sprouting or it's growing roots or it's germinating, and that would be true as well. So one should be cautious when it comes to these types of areas of the Melacha of Zorea, regardless of their application and seemingly far-reaching applications today. Have a wonderful evening. Thank you for calling in, and I look forward to being in touch. Thank you.